Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we're getting close to the weekend. That means a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. Jane Duker is off, which, as I always say, that affords the rest of the panel a lot more time to weigh in on things. She's got a couple of Fridays off. State Rep Steve Butts, who, of course, is running for the State Senate, is going to pinch hit for Jane. State Senator Nick Schwer will be here, and John Gaskin also on the panel. All the fun stuff in the 4 o'clock hour with Paul Hall on entertainment. We'll talk baseball and football with Frank Cusimano. Governor Kehoe will join me in the 5 o'clock hour tomorrow, 24 hours from now. Governor Mike Kehoe will have a great discussion with him. Right now, we have Congresswoman Ann Wagner from the 2nd District, who I believe is back in the district. Are you back home right now?
Yes, I am. I'm back home. Everyone's observing in Congress, and frankly, the Jewish community across our country and world are observing Yom Kippur, so there are no votes today. The Senate's going to go at it again tomorrow on Friday, and right now, pending a potential breakthrough, we'll be back in voting on Monday morning. So that's the plan.
All right. So, yeah, well, that's the plan. Okay. But, like, what's your scenario for how all of this gets settled? To me, it doesn't seem like, even though they're trying to, you know, make this about Obamacare and health care and everything, because they think, and I think to a certain extent, the polling shows that that might be a winning message for the Democrats. But how does this resolve itself? Because I don't see, you know, anyone caving on the Republican side, right? You guys did your work in the House. You sent it over to the Senate. The Senate's rules a little different here and there. We sit in a shutdown. So you think that it seems like there are Senate Democrats that are trying to get on board here, and you saw some, you know, meetings that took place in the Senate chambers this week. But what's your best guess here, Ann?
Yeah, you're quite right. And I will just say to you, as I have said repeatedly over my time in Congress, and all your listeners and everyone in the 2nd District, a government shutdown is a complete waste of taxpayer dollars. It's bad for governance. It hurts our economy and workers. And we, yes, in the House, I voted once again to keep our government open and funded. And the House GOP voted 217 to 212. And this is a clean continuing resolution that the Democrats, frankly, Mark, have supported at least 13 times in the past. This is, frankly, the Biden continuing resolution. We're just doing, President Trump's only been in for 7 months. We're doing our appropriations process right now. There are no poison pills on this continuing resolution. There is nothing partisan. We're trying to buy a little more time, 6-7 more weeks, because we have a number of these appropriations bills that are in conference. We've moved another 2 out of the House. We're hoping to get some of our appropriation work, if not all of it, done and complete here. So it's gone to the Senate, and the Schumer shutdown ensues, and he is terrified of his far left progressive base and AOC, who wants to primary him. He got punched in March when he also voted for this same continuing resolution, but I do see movement.
Okay.
We had 4 at one point Democrats that voted for this in the Senate, for what we passed in the House. Again, we passed this in the House, did our work, kept the government funded. Fetterman, Senator King, and Senator Cortez Masto, and Senator Shaheen was a yes, Mark. And your listeners should know that she was marched back down to the floor by Schumer and made to change her vote.
Oh, I did not know that part. By the way, you did lose Rand Paul on the Republican side, but he never votes for these things.
We always lose Rand Paul on the Republican side.
Right.
So.
Yes.
Something in the water in Kentucky. We have it with Representative Massey on our side of the aisle, too. It's a Kentucky thing.
Don't get me started on Tom Massey. Oh, my God. He's a piece of work. Congressman Ann Wagner is here. All right. And by the way, your phone line is not spectacular here, so I don't know if there's a way you can move to a different portion of where you are. But let's talk about the health care claims here, because as I indicated at the beginning, the Democrats think that this is a winning message. They want to make this about these Obamacare subsidies and whether or not, and this seems to be a nuanced question this week, whether or not some of the money for health care is going to illegal migrants that are in this town. CNN's making the case, because I've been listening to them a lot. Like, oh, you guys got all this wrong. You're not talking about any, money that goes to illegals. And, you know, they're taking a different stand that the Democrats are. So what does the truth on this sometimes lay in the middle here or not?
No, okay. No. Let me tell you the truth. The truth is that the Democrats are demanding $1.5 trillion in additional spending just to get us to November 21st. Again, this is a little short gap measure here that we're trying to do while we finish our work. And yes, what they are asking for is $1.1 trillion in taxpayer-funded Medicaid for illegal immigrants, again, taken out of the One Big Beautiful Bill. They're also wanting to roll back the widely supported rural hospital fund of $50 billion, okay? And they're trying to undo the work requirements in Medicaid. So that all adds up to about $1.1 trillion. There's $350 billion that they are fighting for the COVID, let me underscore, COVID-era Obamacare subsidies. Now, let's be clear. This was a temporary program with zero bipartisan support, by the way, that on top of the real original set Obamacare subsidies during COVID allowed families to have an additional subsidy. And there were no means tested on it, no guardrails. So there were people, truly, that were making $500,000, a couple making $500,000 a year, $500,000.
Paying $74 a month. Yeah, got $74 a month for healthcare, right?
I mean, like, it should infuriate you. So that's what they want, along with the illegal immigrant Medicaid and no work requirements. They want that rolled back, getting rid of the rural hospital fund. And then they want another $500 million for NPR and PBS.
Yeah, no, that's off the table. Yeah,
I mean,
right.
So all this stuff is not happening, man. I mean,
exactly. So why do they think they have any leverage here? Because I don't see it. I really do try to look at things from both sides, but I don't see how they could, you know, figure that in the end this is going to somehow be the Republicans caving. I think the more likely, and we indicate this, the more likely scenario is that you get enough Democrats on board to say, look, this is, you know, this is what we did in the spring. We're going to do the same thing here, and then we're going to negotiate some of these other things at the end of the year. But then don't we also face another CR, or do we have to finally, do appropriations by the end of the year?
Hopefully. Yeah. I mean, we certainly will get a good chunk of them knocked out. And that's what's key here. As I said, three of them are in a conference right now, which means the Senate and the House have agreed. They're working on a package. They've passed out of our chambers. We also have two more, including the defense appropriation that is huge. It's half of our entire budget is been done out of the House. We're going to try and get that done and finished. And so, yes, I believe that there are a number of these things that we can finish up. And these if they want to negotiate something, you know, we can look at negotiating. But these things don't even expire till the end of the year. We're not at the point of negotiating. We're at the point of buying a little more time to finish our work, their work in the Senate, and they've been more lax than we have in the House, and our work, frankly, in the House. It is not negotiating time, so to speak. It's finishing our work time, and the House knows, as do all the Republicans in the Senate, our leadership, the President of the United States. They all know that a government shutdown is bad, 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 bad. Hurts workers, hurts the economy. We're not for that. And we had a member call yesterday with the OMB director, Russ Vogt. And I will say this to your listeners, that and he assured all of us that the He wants everyone to feel as few disruptions as possible, and that we will continue with things like Social Security services, Medicare, VA clinics and hospitals will be open. The Postal Service, not that it's any good, but sorry, I'm off message there.
Yeah, no, but not inaccurately off message, that's for sure.
Not inaccurately. Right. I'm battling that one too, my friend. I'm after USPS big time. Weather services, crop insurance, TSA, all of those things will be open. They're even keeping museums and parks open to the extent that they can. So we're not...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to make this a grave hardship on the American people. But we are going to have to start canceling some things. And I believe it was announced that they were canceling a number of these, I'm going to call them kind of infrastructure transit projects in New York City, the Hudson Tunnel project and the Second Avenue subway project. That was $26 billion. So we just pulled that back in to fund some things. And they're also canceling some of the green energy projects too.
So we
have made movement there, and I don't know what OMB and the executive branch will do next, but here's the problem. The Democrats have handed the key to our constitutional Article 1 authority right over to the White House and to the administration. So that's what you do when you shut down the government, which I don't understand why they would want to do that either. None of this makes sense. It's all political. And I'm going to tell you, we're not negotiating until the Democrats reopen the government. They must reopen the government, and we can have get our work done to the extent we can, and we'll have
and
negotiations.
And then talk about things, yeah. Well, that's the way it should be. And I think there would be every expectation that there's not going to be any caving here. Congresswoman Ann Wagner, let me take you into another subject. Last Friday, I had been invited by a friend of mine who was doing some charity work up in North City and in North County, you know, helping with tornado recovery. And he said, Mark, you got to go up there. And I had not been up there to tour. You know, I've seen a little of Forest Park, but had not gone to some of the more devastated areas. So Pete Foley is his name, and great guy, retired, but trying to help out. He takes me up there. I mean, there's so much devastation. It's just unbelievable. Then there's a story, you know, in the Post today. I don't know if you saw this, but Senator Hawley is slamming FEMA's response. And there was a piece in the Wall Street Journal a couple of days ago that specifically talked about FEMA and the response. And they, you know, they focused here on St. Louis. So, and these are, I don't know, you were up there early on when all this happened, but these are neighborhoods that simply, they won't be neighborhoods for maybe decades. If we don't get in here, the debris is still sitting there. And then I don't know what happens with, you know, redevelopment or what can happen in the future. But this is a pretty big crisis for the city of St. Louis, isn't it?
It really is. And especially for not just the individual homeowners that have just had their world ripped apart, but it's also bad for their neighbors and for property values. The longer this goes, there are some studies and statistics that are out that if things are not cleaned up and put back in order by 6 or 9 months, the property values of the entire neighborhood and area can go substantially down. So we have given, I mean, the governor got every penny that he asked for and then some from the U.S. government. We fought for it here as a delegation and in a bipartisan way, and he got every single penny that's of disaster relief aid that they've asked for, not only for the city of St. Louis, but for ones that happened and then in the county and in some of my areas of the second district in Franklin County and beyond. But yes, that money has been sent out. And I agree. FEMA's got to get moving on this much more quickly. And the city of St. Louis has got to engage. I saw the mayor down of the city of St. Louis down at the NGA opening that I had the honor of being a part of on last Friday morning. And we were talking about the money that they have, the people that have pitched in. There is outside money, private money that has been made available. We need the contract workers and others to actually get in there and
yes.
start with the construction.
That
is a part of it also, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, no, that the main thing, that's the, I'm glad you reminded me, because the one thing I will tell you about seeing things, I didn't see very much work being done. I saw a lot of devastation. I saw a lot of, you know, bricks. I did not see a lot of, you know, tractors or cleanup. So I don't know. I'd love to help. And I think a lot of people would help with volunteers, but these are big projects and, you know, you need machinery and people who are experienced at some of this. Hey, I'm going to have a guest on here, my friend Mark Sutherland here in a couple of minutes. And let me just touch on this with you, because we're going to highlight this announcement that British Airways is going to do a direct flight between Lambert and Heathrow in London. Hey, we focus on all the negative in St. Louis. That's some pretty damn good news, isn't it, Ann?
Woohoo! And I am so happy. We have really, really fought for these transatlantic flights. We have one obviously going into Germany, which is highly successful. But if we can get one directly into London Heathrow, that is magnificent. A direct flight there, and that is a feeder hub, as you well know, Mark, to
Europe.
The rest of Europe.
Yeah.
So if you're doing business, if you want to go for pleasure or travel or with your family, that is going to be the way to go. And I applaud it highly, and exciting to see. And I can't wait to hear some more of the specifics. It's going to lift the entire region and really be great, I think, for economic growth. Because remember, too, you're going to see then other cities that don't have international flights, and there aren't tons of them that do, they'll be coming here to our Lambert Airport and using our facilities and our city and our region in order to catch
yeah.
that connection.
And, instead of going to New York or Toronto or,
right.
or Chicago, they, yeah, absolutely.
Or Dulles or look, wherever, you know.
I'll admit that I have some questions about the incentives, but I know that with Lufthansa, you know, the incentives expired after 2 years and they decided, look, there was enough, you know, demand, and that's what I'm hoping here. And I think there will be. I think this is going to be really successful. Absolutely. All right, listen, well, enjoy your time back in the district. And then what are you heading back next week and hoping that this is going to be settled?
It's going to be brief. I will be, we're back out. At it on Monday, and our leadership's coming up with a plan. But as I said, we did our work. We funded the government. We kept it open. It is time for the Democrats, certainly in the Senate, to stop playing games. It's been broken. As I said, there were three or four that wanted it. I know that Ossoff has got a big race. Senator Ossoff needs to vote for this. Klobuchar. I bet we can get Peters. I can get us to 60 in the Senate in my own mind. So let's get her done. Let's make sure that we're taking care of our workers and our economy, and making sure we don't have any kind of lengthy shutdown of the government.
All right. Keep us posted. Have a great weekend. I appreciate it.
You bet. You too.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.